I dream of a church where the gospel is the underlying theme of all we do, where grace is accepted, valued, extended, where the salvation of souls is the norm and not the exception, where self-discipline and holiness of life spring not from guilty compulsion, but from grateful servanthood, where joy and hope reign. I dream of a church where love for people springs from love for God, where joy and gratefulness to God permeates the air, where God's people are one in spirit, and where service is considered a privilege and not a pain. I dream of a church where God's word is exalted in authority, taught with relevance, heard with anticipation, obeyed with passion, studied with expectation, communicated with encouragement, honored in reverence.
Who is that masked man? That was back in the days when I actually wore a tie. 1991. I remember that day like it was today. I was sitting at IBC down at 2700 West Finley Road, which is obviously not here, and getting ready to preach, and I was just reflecting before I said those words on my nearly 3 years already at IBC as the senior pastor. God had given me a dream for this church. And that's what brought me to this church. That's what has fired us up as a church over all these years. But I had not given that dream yet. And I'm sitting there in my three-piece suit. I had a tie and a three-piece suit. And I was reflecting on how I'd come to be the senior pastor at this church. It had happened 3 years before that. I was, at that time, after I graduated from Dallas Seminary, during our seminary years, Alice and I helped plant a church over in Garland called Northeast Bible Church. And I was the associate pastor there for 2 years after I graduated from seminary. And I was sitting over there with Dr. Ray Pritchard, my colleague there at Northeast Bible Church, and we were just shooting a breeze, and somebody came in the door, a friend of both of ours, and said these words. It said, "Did you guys hear what they just did at Irving Bible Church?" And we said, "No. What'd they do?" They said, "They just fired their pastor and their associate pastor, and it's just 2 weeks before Christmas." I heard those words. I turned to Ray and I said these words: "God help the poor guy that goes to that church next as senior pastor." God help him. Now, I didn't know then what I know now and what I came to find out in short order, that that was a necessary step that the elders took here back in those days. All I knew was, God help the poor guy that goes to that church next. Let me give you a tip. If you don't want God to hear you say something that might get you in trouble, just don't say it out loud, okay? I said it out loud. God heard me, and in his humorous way, he put the finger on me and said, "You're the guy. You're the guy." Why did we come? It was a miracle. It was a miracle not just because of our little bit fearfulness about what this place was to pastors. It was a miracle because I had never preached two sermons, two weekends in a row in my life when Irving Bible Church called me to be the senior pastor. Now, Dr. Chuck Swindoll pastored this church, and they asked me to come. And I'm just a tin horn, green, behind, never preached a series. I didn't even know if I could do it. I didn't know if I could sustain a sermon series more than 2 weeks in a row because I'd never tried it. And yet, they asked me to come. It was just a miracle. And I think it was a miracle that we said yes, because all our friends were telling us, no, don't go there. They eat pastors. But God called us. And through the elders here, called us here. And I believe, looking back on that video of, or the audio, and hearing the audio of that sermon in 1991, that those dreams were birthed in me when I came to this church. Now, 31 years later, I look at how those dreams have been so magnificently fulfilled. I'm just so grateful, so humbled by it. So desirous that this church continue to be blessed by God in achieving kingdom results around the world. And it's for that reason that I've come this morning to make an announcement. And that announcement is that it is my pleasure and my privilege and my honor to pass the torch of leadership as senior pastor of Irving Bible Church on to Dr. Barry Jones. This is going to occur in January of 2019, January the 27th. We're going to have a service, and we're going to install Dr. Barry Jones as our new senior pastor. And I'm going to be leading that service. And I'm so excited about it. I'm so grateful to be able to pass this baton on to the next generation of talented spiritual leadership that God has called and prepared, led by my friend and colleague, Pastor Barry. Now, let me back up. I want to backfill a little bit how we got here today so that all of you will know. And in a little while, I'm going to bring Barry up too, so you're going to get to hear from Barry too. But let me tell you a little bit about how we got here to this day. From that day back in 1991 when I first rolled out that dream for IBC. First of all, we have known, the elders of this church and myself included, as senior pastor, I'm an elder, whether I like it or not. and I do like it. But we have known forever that succession is a part of spiritual leadership. In other words, part of effective spiritual leadership at the local church level, especially the senior pastor, is constantly being aware of our responsibility to pass the torch to the next generation. This is biblical. It's necessary. Unless there's any senior pastors getting born that are never going to die, we all know we got to quit sometime, right? So it's necessary, but it's also biblical. You know, we have all through the scriptures, we have examples of one spiritual leader handing the baton to the next one. Moses and Joshua in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. We have Paul and Timothy in the New Testament. And it's a beautiful biblical rhythm that comes with all effective leadership in the local church. I love how Paul expresses it in 2 Timothy 2 when he's writing to Timothy. And he says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. The New Testament model of spiritual leadership is a constant, ongoing succession of spiritual leadership. So this is a wonderful thing. It's a privileged thing for me to be able to fulfill my role as a spiritual leader here at IBC. By raising up and promoting my successor. I'm Paul, and he's Timothy. You don't buy that? Okay. Anyway, I'm passing the torch on to Barry. And this is a biblical thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, why now? Why are we doing this now? Let me go back 6 years. Some of you were here then when I was diagnosed with cancer, went through a couple of years of surgeries and chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, God brought me through it, largely because you guys prayed me through it. But we got through it, and it kind of rattled us a little bit on the elder board. It's like, wait a second. We don't really have a plan. Like, what's going to happen if this cancer comes back? Or what if you hadn't made it through? Where would we be? And so the elders took the initiative 6 years ago to start a serious study of the whole succession process and how we could bring that to pass here at IBC. They brought in experts to teach us. We read books together. We, for the last 6 years, unbeknownst to the pastors that we've hired and brought in, the pastors that are already serving here, we've been looking at them with an eye to succession, possible succession. Every single one of them. We've been watching Dr. Barry Jones. He didn't know it. We've been watching him for the last 6 years. Because we understood the responsibility for the board of elders here to bring about the succession process and to present a successor to the senior pastor and be ready to do that whenever necessary. So the succession process began in earnest 6 years ago, but it really came to a head for me personally 1 year ago. 1 year ago, I celebrated 30 years here. And you know how it is with certain anniversaries? Some of them hit you harder than others. Like, for those of you who have turned 40, that was a pretty big birthday, right? You're no longer a kid. Then you turn 50, now you're getting old. And you turn 60, and it's like, man, am I drooling yet? I may be taking that a little too far. But I'm 62. And when I came up on 30 years, it hit me. It was like very reflective for me. And here we are in this process that started 6 years ago, talking about succession. I began to long for God to show me, to lead me to who my successor is. I mean specifically, and with a timeline. And I began to pray about that. And for this last year, I will just tell you, God has answered that prayer to show me, to speak to my heart. And I was asking to speak to all the elders and the staff and everybody else too, but I wanted to know right here. And God showed me over this last year that Dr. Jones is the guy, is God's guy to succeed me. And I was so happy. I was so happy to learn this and to have the assurance from God that God is preparing Barry. God has called him and raised him up, and God has him in line. That I can hand the baton off to him and know that he's going to carry it further, higher, and faster than I ever could. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you can't pastor a church for 31 years without getting a little bit of a sense of protective, right? It's like I just don't trust anybody to take this thing over. And God gave me someone that I love and that I trust. And so I'm grateful for that. 4 months ago, I went to the elders. And they had asked me, hey, what are your thoughts? Where we're at, whatever. And I told them, I said, guys, I said, it has come very clear to me that Dr. Jones is my successor, that he is calling him, preparing him, raising him up. And I would like to promote Barry to the Board of Elders. See, the Board of Elders, it is their responsibility to vet, to present a new senior pastor. And so, you know, they had this responsibility, and I asked them, I said, please, this is who I think God is raising up. Will you start the process, the vetting process? And they did. And your elders, man, they went to the nth degree. They put Barry and Kim through like FBI vetting. We had outside firms come in and do vetting. They had multitude of hours of interviews. And the elders came to the same conclusion that I had come to. Yeah, Barry's the guy. And so we basically said, now that we know who the guy is, let's get going. Let's get the baton passed. And so we put this timeline together where we're going to go through the end of this year and into January. And at the end of January, Barry will be installed as a senior pastor here at IBC. And we're very excited about it. Now, let me talk a little bit about Barry's credentials. Okay, some of you are new here. Some of you maybe don't know Barry or his history here, but I want to share a couple things with you about how Barry has been prepared and equipped by God to pastor this great church. First of all, you know, Barry's academic credentials. Here's all you need to remember. The guy's a genius. He's brilliant. I'm serious. He is brilliant. He has a PhD in systematic theology from Wheaton College. That's my alma mater. And therefore, I know that he's okay because he got a PhD from my alma mater. I know that they don't hand those out for free at Wheaton. Barry is brilliant. He's been a professor of pastoral care and preaching and homiletics at Dallas Seminary for the last 12 years. I mean, he's brilliant. He's a published author. I mean, he is way better candidate to be senior pastor here than I ever was 30 years ago. I don't even know why they asked me. I know why we're asking Barry. But you know, as impressive as Barry's academic credentials for this position are, they're not nearly as impactful for me as his leadership credentials. In his 12 years being a professor at Dallas Seminary, he's also been on staff here at IBC. He's led our preaching team. He's been the trainer of our church planters, 4 churches planted. He trained the pastors. Barry has been instrumental on the lead team, the executive team, which is the highest level of staff leadership here at IBC. He's been on the lead team. His leadership is consummate. He's experienced. He's invested here. He's given his heart and his soul here. But as impressive as Barry's academic credentials are, as impressive as his leadership credentials are, to me, the most important thing is his pastoral credentials. And I will tell you, I know this for a fact, that this man loves this church with his whole heart. And not just Barry, but his wife Kim and their children, Will and Pearson and Kathleen, all of whom were dedicated here. Kim, who's been involved in ministry here, in women's ministry, in the missions team, in my refuge house overseas. I mean, Kim is, she could be the new senior pastor. In fact, we get a twofer here. But Barry's heart for this church, I have told Barry, I love how you love this church because you love this church as much as I do. And he does. He is a wonderful pastor. And I've loved, just in the last few months, I've heard, walking by Barry, having conversations in this room and other places, and I've heard people at IBC refer to Dr. Barry Jones, PhD, as Pastor Barry, Pastor Barry. Because he's become your pastor. He's going to be my pastor. And I'm so thrilled about it. Sorry, I can't stop the tears. I'm really happy right now, okay? You know me. I am so blessed that I can present Barry to you. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, or about Timothy to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, he says these words. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also truly may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I have no one else like you, Barry. Would you all welcome Dr. Barry Jones, the future senior pastor at Irving Bible Church.
I'm such a blubbering fool. It gets worse every time. I love you too, buddy.
I've been putting on this microphone for nearly 12 years, but I've never cried doing it until today. It was 24 years ago that I first encountered Andy's dream for a church. I was a 22-year-old college student walking into a little church on Findlay Road. And now the idea that I stand here today, we are here today, a product of that dream. And now, absolutely overwhelmed at the idea that I'm in some sense being entrusted with that dream. It was 1994. I walked into that little church, this college student aspiring towards ministry one day, and I encountered something there that changed the trajectory of my life. I encountered a church there that day that was a church that was passionately engaged with God in worship, a church that was hearing God's word taught with depth and relevance from a man who put his whole heart into his sermons. I encountered a community of people that loved each other and that were passionate about seeing people come to know Jesus. And there was something in my heart from the very beginning that says, I want to pastor a church like that one day. I want to become a preacher like that someday. And the idea that now I would be asked to lead that church completely blows my mind. As Andy said, he came to a place of conviction that now was the time that I was the man. And the elders then went through their process and many hours that we spent together talking about our hopes and dreams, my vision for the future of IBC. As they put me through the paces with an outside evaluator who did look pretty extensively into our lives. I think he wound up checking for overdue library books in the process. And guys, I promise I'll turn that World War II book into the Irving Library. So they came to a place of a settled conviction that now was the time that I was the man. But Kim and I had to go through a process of evaluation, of prayer, of discernment to say, do we believe that now is the time and that I am the man? And to get to that place, I had to come to a settled conviction about three things. Has God called me to this? Has God equipped me for this? And will God empower me in this? And friends, I have come to a place that I'm settled in my heart believing that God has called me to this. That there is a deep sense of certainty that this is what he has for us next. I will be stepping away from my role as a full-time faculty member at Dallas Seminary. I'll continue to teach a class here and there along the way, but I believe with all my heart that God has called me here. And I believe with all my heart that he has equipped me for this. As we've been in this process of looking back and even thinking about the way in which God providentially brought me into that little sanctuary on Findlay Road in 1994, I see now in ways that I never did along the way, this is a story that God has been writing for a long, long time. And he's brought me through experiences and relationships, and he's wired me and he's developed me. That I was given an opportunity long before I was ready. And some of you were here for those early sermons and you wondered what this guy was thinking because he gave me an opportunity long before I was ready. But he gave me that opportunity and gave me the grace and the space to grow into this role. That he's invested in me and walked alongside me for all these years. And we've shared some very special moments along the way. The first time that I taught at IBC was 2001. Kim and I had served on staff. I had served on staff a couple of different churches after that first encounter with IBC in the mid-90s. So 2000, IBC became home for us. And in 2001, I had my first opportunity to do some teaching. It was in the men's ministry. A buddy of mine was the intern who was overseeing our men's ministry at the time. And he invited me to come in and do one of the men's Bible studies. And I was all excited, I was all prepared. I put my Bible and my notes on the podium in front of me, and who walks in the back door but this guy? This guy who had been my hero, the kind of preacher I wanted to become, and he's sitting in the back of the room, and I am terrified. shaking with fright, and I made my way through the lesson, and he didn't have to do this, but he made his way up to me after the lesson was over, and he spoke words of encouragement and affirmation that I rode on for a long, long time after that. Now, for the next 6 months, he called me Josh, but...
not perfect.
We had an intern at the time named Josh Jones, and I think the Jones thing threw him off a bit. In 2008, he invited me to join the preaching team. In 2009, he stood with me outside of my sister's hospital room as she was dying, and I wept down the back of his neck. Just a few months later, we shared a special meal and conversation together at a barbecue place not far from here. And he said, "Barry, you have walked with your dad when you lost him. You've walked with your sister when you lost her. I need you to help me to walk with my kids as they lose me." And 2 years later, we sat at that same table at that same barbecue place and celebrated the way that God had delivered him. And then just a few weeks ago, one of the most meaningful moments of my life, when he looked at me and said, "Barry, Alice and I want you to be our pastor." I believe that God called me to this, that he has equipped me for this, and he will empower me in it. And if I didn't have that conviction, friends, there's not a way that I could be standing in front of you today. Because I feel very deeply that what I am being asked to do, what I believe God is calling me to do, is far beyond my power and ability. And yet that's what God does, isn't it? He calls us to things that are beyond our power and ability. I don't know if you have one of those verses in your life, kind of an anchor verse for your life that you continue to go back to, a life verse, but my life verse, it's been my life verse since I first came to Christ as a teenager. It's Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, where the Lord said to Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And then Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses and insults and hardship and persecution, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And God has called a man who is weak, a man who is deeply flawed, a man who is prone to make mistakes in all kinds of ways. He's called me to be your pastor. It is far beyond me in my own strength and my own ability. But thankfully, it's not up to my own strength and my own ability. And so I say, Holy Spirit, I am weak. You are strong. Be strong in me. Friends, I love Irving Bible Church. I love you guys. I love our vision to be people who are experiencing God's transforming power in our lives, who then are used as agents of God's transforming work in the world. And we wrote a little sentence when we came up with that vision a couple of years ago that said, we want to lead a movement of gospel transformation where people meet Jesus, learn to trust and follow him, and are sent out into their neighborhoods as missionary disciples. And that is my white hot passion, to see people meet Jesus and to see them trained up to become disciples, transformed to be like Jesus, so that then they might join Jesus in his mission to bless the world with his love. I'm so excited about the beautiful future that I believe God is leading us into. Now, some of you may be wondering, okay, now what about Andy? The good news is Andy and Alice aren't going anywhere. And this has been so important to me because as he used the analogy of Paul and Timothy, I very much feel like Andy has been Paul to me. an example that I could follow, someone who invested himself into my life. But the great thing is that if you know about the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy in our New Testament, they are written by Paul to Timothy after he's been installed as a pastor, that Paul continued to cheer him on, continued to coach him along, continued to be in his corner. And Andy has committed to do that for me. The elders have given Andy a commitment for the next 3 years to be our pastor at large. And as he likes to point out, that isn't our large pastor, but our pastor at large, that he will minister. A lot of his ministry will be outside the walls of IBC, but as a representative of IBC, that as you know, Andy has been given the opportunity in the last few years to write 2 different books, and I know he's planning on working on his next one. And there have been opportunities that Andy has said no to outside the walls of IBC because of his commitment to this community. And this gives him an opportunity to pursue those things, and for he and Alice together to pursue those things outside the walls of IBC, but as a representative of IBC. And I believe that will be a benefit to IBC as people experience his ministry out there and look to what God is doing in here. But not just outside IBC, he's still here with us, that they will be worshiping alongside of us as members of this community. And he has promised me, and I'm holding you to it, he's promised me that he's gonna preach every time I ask him, and I intend to ask him several times a year. Friends, we are excited about what we believe will be a beautiful future that God has in store for us. Because that dream that Andy articulated all those years ago is still alive and well. And while we have experienced the fulfillment of those dreams in ways that I don't think he ever could have anticipated, I believe that the best is yet to come. Now, Andy's going to come and lead us to come to the table of communion, this opportunity that we have on this special day to celebrate not only the union that we have with God, but the union that we have with one another. And over the course of the next several months, there's gonna be a lot of opportunities to express our love and gratitude to this man and to Alice. But would you just now express for this moment our gratitude to Andy as he comes to lead us?
Did it to me again.
Alice. Can't you keep going a little bit longer? Y'all be seated. Thank you so much. Just to let you know, she's the only reason I'm here, okay? Love you, babe. See you later. I see we have a few more minutes left over, so I'm never going to stop being a preacher. I'll say a few more things. One of the things that I want you to know that you probably have already discerned is that for us, this is a time of great joy as we are seeing God taking this church and he's going to build it forward and higher and better than it ever was. And we get to pass that baton and see it happen. That is such a great joy to us. But you know, a change like this is bittersweet. And I wouldn't be honest with you all if I didn't just admit, you know, Alice and I, we've been doing this for 31 years. This is our home. This is our family. It will continue to be our home and our family. But it's a big change for us. And there's some sadness for us personally with that, even as we are excited and overjoyed at the, at, at Barry taking over and moving this church forward. And we're going to be 110% behind Barry and this church and doing everything we can as we go forward. The point is, this is change. And nobody likes change, right? Even if it's good change. And this is a wonderful change. Nobody likes it. And so what do we have to do at a time like this? We have to trust God. Did you wonder why we did this sudden series on trusting God the last 4 weeks? It was all leading up to today. Because we want all of us together to trust God in these days as a spiritual family like we never have before. Because when we trust God together, He does mighty things. I'm convinced that He's going to do wonderfully mighty things. Now, I have 3 minutes and 14 seconds left, so I'm going to keep talking. I held a vote at the end of last service. Did you see the picture of me to start the audio with the tie? Okay, I think we should make it a tradition for new senior pastors at IBC that they have to wear a tie for the first 3 years of their ministry. Who's with me? Who votes that Barry has to wear a tie? Still didn't get a majority. You're safe, man. The first service let him off. You guys are letting him off too. We love you guys. We're excited to be a part of everything that God does going forward. In a minute, Brian's going to come up at the end and lay out the timeline for you so that you see all the things that are planned and how this thing's going to go. But before we do that, we wanted to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. What a wonderful experience for us to demonstrate our unity in Christ, who is the chief shepherd, the ultimate senior pastor. And we celebrate what He did for us and our unity together in communion. And so, Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, was with His disciples. Their hearts were sorrowful and they were afraid. They needed to trust. And so here's what Jesus gave them to trust. He said to them, having taken the bread and blessed it and breaking it, He said to them, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of Me." Later He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. I'm launching a new thing. It's wonderful, but it's a big change and you're going to have to trust. I'm launching a big thing here. This cup is the new covenant in My blood. As often as you drink it, remember Me. And anticipate someday as together we drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Let's worship the Lord now by doing just that.